Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're turning through to Luke chapter 13, but before I read our passage, as always, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another day to open up your Word together. And we do pray that you would bless it to our hearts, that you might feed us and nourish us through the words of Christ contained in the Gospel of Luke. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 13, picking up at verse 1. There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans, because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you that unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down." Well, yesterday we talked about the fact that Jesus was coming, or was there with them as he addressed the crowd, and was calling them to action today. And we looked at the way that that section about the interpreting of the times leads naturally into that settling with your accuser. And I pointed out to you that it's important for us to settle with our accuser, being God, now, and not put it off until the day of judgment. And that leads naturally into this next section. We remember that moment in verse 35 through to 48, where Peter in verse 41 asks that question, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for us all?" And I mentioned that it was a bit of a defensive reaction from Peter. Well, I think there's a sense in which what Luke is doing is the same thing here, but for the crowd. Jesus has just brought this quite damning statement about the crowd, that they are not interpreting the time and they're not coming to Christ while Christ is presented to them. And then, all of a sudden, Luke introduces us to these people in the crowd who say to Jesus, they ask him the question, they tell him about these Galileans whose blood Pilate, we're told in verse 1, mingled with their sacrifices. What are they saying here? What is Luke pointing out to us? Well, what these people in the crowd are effectively saying is, well, I mean, surely not us though, right? Look how bad they are. Consider how sinful they are, or were, in comparison to us. We don't need to settle with an accuser. But consider those who were sacrificed, had their blood mingled with their sacrifices. And what is Jesus' response to this effectively self-justification by these people in the crowd, that they don't need to come to Christ, they don't need to repent? Jesus says to them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the rest? No, but unless you repent." It's interesting, isn't it? He doesn't say unless the Galileans repent, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell. Are they worse? No, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. What's Jesus' point here? The crowd come to him, or some of the people in the crowd come to him, and seek to use the story to self-justify themselves. And Jesus effectively just returns to his previous point and says, settle with your accuser. Repent now for your own sin. And that word repent, if you were just reading through the Gospel of Luke, should trigger very important bells in your mind. In Luke chapter 2, the Baptist John the Baptist, sorry, he preached. And do you remember what he said? He preached and he called people to repent, to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Why? Because Jesus was coming. And so now Jesus has come, and what does Jesus call them to do? Repent, for Jesus is here. Repent. Settle with your accuser before it's too late, or you will perish. It's striking, isn't it, that even in the Gospel of Matthew, I think it is, in the beginning when Jesus first begins his ministry, the very first thing he declares is repent, for the kingdom of God has come. You see, the message we proclaim is a proclamation of repentance. It's something sadly missing in many of our churches. But there is no salvation without repentance. There is no salvation without a forsaking of our sins and fleeing to Christ. The gospel necessitates repentance. And it's interesting that when Luther returned to the gospel again, when Martin Luther returned to the gospel again, one of the first things he wrote in his 95 Theses was that when Jesus says, repent for the kingdom of God has come, that repentance is a daily repentance. You see, it's not just that we must repent once or we will perish, but we must daily repent of our sins, turn from them, and turn to Christ over and over and over again. And then Jesus seals this idea, this challenge to the crowd with a parable. He tells this parable of a vineyard. There's a vineyard and there's a vine dresser and there's a fig tree that doesn't produce fruit. And the owner wants to cut it down. But the servant says, let it alone. Give it a bit more time. I'll work with it. And we'll see if it produces fruit. What's going on here? Well, it's Jesus effectively saying to the crowd, I have come to prepare the fig tree. I have come to present to you repentance, to present to you the gospel. I have come bringing salvation. Will you produce fruit in keeping with repentance? Will you produce that which God looks for? Not good works by the law, but repentance and faith. You see, it's the great necessity in our life. And we can't afford to wait for the day when we face our accuser at the judgment day. But we must do it today. So the question, I guess, for every single one of us, as this teaching of Jesus comes to a close, and as we transition into a new section tomorrow, the question that sits before us as Jesus has unpacked discipleship and unpacked the nature of taking up our cross and following Jesus and all of that, the question is, are we a fig tree that produces the fruit that God is looking for? Repentance unto life. Or are we a barren tree that is waiting to be cut down? Which is it for you? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you would help us to bear fruit in keeping with repentance, to repent, for the kingdom of God has come, not once, but daily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.